Welcome to CWH. We are thrilled to be gathering together for Palm Sunday. We hope you'll invite others to watch with you today and next week for Easter Sunday. Now let's join Dad for the message titled, Riding on a Donkey, where we are reminded that Jesus is our example in all things.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And this is a special Sunday because it's what we call Palm Sunday. And we get that, you remember, as Jesus rode into Jerusalem and is coming close to the cross. Won't be long now, and he'll be on the cross. But this last one to ride, riding on a donkey, and the whole city is acclaiming that Jesus Christ is the King. It's a beautiful story, and we want to take some lessons from it. But before that, I want to read some of the letters. We get so many nice letters. And you get your pencil and paper, because at the close of the service, I'll give you our address. And we would just love to hear from you, because it encourages us. And then we pray for you. And then we'll maybe read your letter, and it'll encourage somebody else. So we just hope that you'll just keep us in mind and write to us if you possibly can. Now, here's a letter. The first one is from San Rafael, California. And this is a lady, and she writes, "Sometimes I feel very lonely and long for friends who share the feelings of my very soul. These current times seem so full of hate and evil in the whole world that I feel the more alone and separated than ever before. It is therefore a great comfort to hear the letters of Christians who write in and that they read every Sunday. It is the best time of the entire service for me. Like you, I've been a Christian from my youth, so the sermons are very special and uplifting, and especially thank you very much for the reading of the letters for my fellow soulmates. They really are a comfort to me. I thank God that not all is lost." And so isn't that beautiful? So these letters are a blessing to people everywhere. And then when we read these letters, people all over the world will pray for these things. So you be sure to write to us. And as I say, I'll give it to you at the end of the service. Here's Northwood, Iowa. Hope this will help to bring souls to Jesus. I've watched you for years on Sunday morning. You made a big change in my life. I look forward to Sunday morning. The world is so negative. You are a breath of fresh air with the Word of God. And that's exactly what it is. It's the Word of God. And it brings new life, and it brings hope. And I'm telling you, when you come to Jesus Christ, there isn't anything he can't do. Well, he can't believe for you. That's what he can't believe for you. But he has all power and might. And it's just great to see him work and to put things in his hands. What a wonderful, wonderful Savior. Here's Fargo, North Dakota. Thank you for your weekly church hour. I accepted Jesus into my life on your show, and it has been a wonderful experience. And when I read that, I thought, I wonder if people know how it is to accept Jesus. And what to accept Jesus means that you just ask Jesus to come into your heart. You're asking him, accepting him. Jesus will never break down the door of your life. He will never break it down. He knocks at the door, and by that, there's a feeling, I need Jesus, and I want Jesus. And it's when you accept Jesus, it means you just pray and say, "Dear Jesus, I'm a poor lost sinner. I ask you to take away my sins, and I'll serve you the best I can," and thank him and praise him. Wonderful. One more letter. Lecompton, Kansas. After having a stroke, I realized how much your message means to me. I felt Jesus taking me by the hand and saying, "Follow me, and I will help you through the dark valley of depression." And so this is a lady written in, and she just feels God speaking to her in her heart. Now, I've never had Jesus speak to me in an audible voice, and I've never had visions, but you just know. You just feel, I ought to do this. I ought to stop doing this. I ought to ask Jesus to come into my life. I ought to rededicate my life. You'll know that God is talking to your heart because it's the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And so when that comes to you, and we're praying that in the service today, many of you will say, oh, yes, I need Jesus. I'm taking the lessons from Jesus. He enters Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday, and I want Jesus to enter into my heart and my life. Wouldn't that be great? Some of you are discouraged and all. It's just a great thing. And so we're going to look at this story. Now, the story goes that Jesus is on Bethany, and he tells his disciples to go and to take a donkey and a colt that has never been ridden and just to take him and bring him to me. And he says, if anybody asks you, why are you taking him? You just tell him the master has need of him and they'll let him go. And so that's exactly what they did. And then Jesus gets on this donkey and he rides that donkey down the slope of the Mount of Olives, cross the brook Kidron, and then up the other side into the holy city, into Jerusalem. And sometimes that's a miracle in itself, because I was raised on the farm. And I'm going to tell you, you didn't get on a horse that hadn't been ridden unless you were ready to ride, because they buck and they buck hard. And these little donkeys are the worst thing in the world. They're just like riding on a flea, and you don't know where you're at. Jesus gets on this donkey and he never does a thing. He just marches right down that hill with that parade and all those people shouting and everything else. Because you know why? Because Jesus is the creator of the world. He created all the creation, and he has control over the animals of the field and the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea. He's the creator of it all. So Jesus rides this little donkey, and then the people they all shout out. And Matthew says that the people shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And the gospel writer tells us that Jesus followed a parade route. So then if something special, they would come down that special parade, that special route, and it would be a great parade. Now, if one of the Roman generals were riding that route, I'm going to tell you he wouldn't be on a donkey. He'd be on a fiery steed, or he'd be riding in a fancy chariot with his soldiers marching beside him. They would make something of it. But here's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, creator of all things, and he's riding that donkey down that trail. Now, let's think about that for a minute. And just think of the four things. I want you, first of all, to see when Jesus was riding that donkey down that trail, humility was riding with him. Now, a Roman soldier or general wouldn't be caught dead riding on that donkey. And Jesus is so humble, and he's so lowly of heart, and he's one of us. And this Jesus had all power and might. As a matter of fact, John says that the people said, when Christ comes, will he do more miracles than this man doeth? And he did so many miracles that John wrote one place. He says, I think if you wrote all the things that Jesus did, all the books in the world couldn't contain them. And that's what you call hyperbole. And that is that they use a figure of speech to say that it's all beyond counting all the greatness of Jesus Christ. And yet as great as he is and as powerful as he was, he came riding on that donkey. And Spears, a man named Spears, writes and says, he's one of the great noble characters of all history, Jesus Christ. And he says he walked in life without display. He met rejection without dismay. He never lost control of himself. He was always calm and collected and quiet. He avoided demonstrations or popularity. He always bore himself with even composure. He was not weak. He washed the feet of the disciples, and yet he threw out the money changers in the temple. He had all power. And here he is, this wonderful. No wonder Peter said, don't wash my feet. This is the creator of the world. This is God, second person of the Trinity. And he's washing Peter's feet. And so this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, and then he tells us, then Paul tells us, and he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 2. He says, you need to be like Jesus. All of the followers of Jesus need to be like him. And that is, we need to demonstrate humility, real humility. He says, let this mind be in you. That is, We must always strive to be humble, because there's within all of us the tendency to boast. And we talk about ourselves, and we think we're so highly of ourselves. And Jesus is telling us that you need to be like me. Follow me, Jesus says. I'm setting a pattern. I'm setting the plan for you. And he says, and Jesus says, I am meek and lowly in heart. He was a gentle, kind, loving Jesus. So much so that he came to this world and born in the lowest of circumstances and gave it all to Jesus. And following the Savior, walking with the Savior. What a wonderful Savior. Jesus Christ, our wonderful Lord. And so he's telling us, you need to be humble if you walk with me. If you're high and thing filled with pride and you're all filled with self. And I think it was Dwight L. Moody said, oh, a man all wrapped up in himself makes a mighty small package. And we have a tendency of being proud. We're just the old human nature's that way. Jesus says, I want you to be humble. I want you to be gentle and kind. And then he tells us as we ride this, we see that there was love riding on that donkey with him. That was the thing that compelled Jesus Christ to come into this world, because we were all sinners. God gave a command, and the perfect was love, was to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might and thy strength, and love thy neighbor as ourself. And no one ever loved like that except Jesus. No one. All of us have failed. And so Jesus looks at us today, and he sees that we're deep in sin. We've gone astray. We're proud of the strangest things. We like to have people compliment us. We like to talk about ourselves, and we have a tendency to be proud. And so Jesus says, and he says, I'm coming, and I'm coming because I love you. We don't have any claim upon Jesus. We couldn't say, you have to come and die for me. You have to come and pay for my sins. Jesus didn't have anything to do with it, because he had no sins of his own. And he took our sins, and he went to the cross, and he did it because he loved us. And I don't know how you can't explain the wonderful love of God. But he talks about it. And Jesus says, I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give my life a ransom for many. And so he's talking, I came because I loved you. I came because you're in your sins. And if you die in those sins, you're going to go to hell just as sure as the world. There's no way around it, because there's no sin will ever enter heaven, not one speck of sin. And here we are, we're all filled with sin. Not all just things, the sins of commission, but sins of omission. We should have helped somebody. We should have done some good to somebody, and we didn't do it, and we kept it to ourselves. And oh, we are so proud and high-minded, and Jesus loved us. Even though we were in that way, Jesus suffered for us. But I'm going to tell you, he suffered more than just the spikes driven through his hands and his feet and the spear going in his side. He suffered far more than that. Because when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, you remember, he prayed. And God tells us that he prayed in his sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. He was agonizing in the garden. And sometimes people say, well, yes, he was agonizing because he was going to die on the cross. But friends, we have martyrs who die on the cross. Man, we have people who have their heads cut off right now in this 21st century. And they do it loving the Lord, and they do it gladly. And you know something else? In the book of Hebrews, we're told that the Lord loved us so much that he went to the cross, despising the shame, and he hated the shame, but he loved us so much, he rejoiced that he could go and pay for our sins on the cross. And so how can he do that? In the Garden of Gethsemane, he takes the sins of the world into that sinless body of Christ. We wouldn't know what that's all about, because we're all poor old sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. All have fallen short of the glory of God. And Jesus Christ had no sins. We have filled with sins. He had no sins. Then all of a sudden, he has all the sins of the past. the present and the future as long as the world's going to stand. He paid for those sins. And so it was this dear Lord Jesus. He paid for the cross, went to that cross and paid for our sins because he loved us. So there was love riding on that donkey also. And then there was forgiveness riding on that donkey too. Because as Jesus came into the inn, he came and he taught us that we must forgive those who sin against us. With those who despitefully use us and persecute us, we are to pray for them and to forgive them and leave them in God's hands, because God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And so all of this forgiveness comes, and Jesus taught us how and he showed us how. As a matter of fact, Jesus had seven sayings from the cross. He had seven cries from the cross of Christ. And you know what the first cry was? It was a prayer. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And what were they doing? They had driven the spikes in his hands and his feet. They had crammed that crown of thorns on his head that made his brow bleed. He suffered terribly, and Jesus prays for those people. How can you do what you can't do unless you have divine love? But Jesus tells us that we are not to hold grudges, and we're to forgive and just ask God to forgive them for the sins that they're committing. And we have to do that because he's commanded us to do it. And you say, I can't do it. You can't do it unless you have Jesus in your heart. But when we have Jesus in our heart, we can pray for those who persecute us. You want to know something? It's happening every day where the Christians are praying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know what? In some of the parts of the world, they are dying for Jesus right now, and they're putting Christians to death, and because they refuse to deny Jesus, and they're praying for those Christians, and they pray for those people that are persecuting them. And they can only do that because they're close to Jesus, and Jesus helps them to do that from their heart. There is an organization that's called the Persecuted Church, and that's they're the Christian people throughout all the world. And we pray for the persecuted church. We pray every week. We pray the persecuted church in some one of the countries. We're praying for them. And those people are praying that God will forgive them to take their lives. It's just a terrible thing. But that's what Jesus taught us to do, and he preached us to do it, and we have to do it. He's our example. And if we need have a problem with forgiving somebody, we have to get to Jesus and ask him to help us to forgive and not to hold a grudge, but to just give it to Jesus. Put them in Jesus' hands. And see that there's no hatred, there was forgiveness. And then finally, there was hope riding on that donkey with Jesus that day. As a matter of fact, it's the hope of the world. It's the only hope of the world. The streets were lined with common people, downtrodden people. They knew where they were, they're poor. They had no church choice. They were desperately poor, common people. And yet this wonderful Jesus comes and he gives them hope. Not that they'll be all millionaires, but that they will handle money. And if they have a lot, they'll handle it right. And if they have nothing, they will not begrudge it, but they will just be thankful for what they have and praise God. You know, Jesus gives an illustration, and he gives us an illustration of a man that was rich. And he had great crops, and pretty soon he had so many crops, he didn't have enough sheds to put them in. Put all of the grain in. And so he says, I know what I'll do. I'll tear all these sheds down and I'll make bigger sheds. And then I'll just put them all in there. And then I'll have all of my goods will be there. And then I'll eat, drink, and be merry. And I'll be happy for the rest of my life. That's what he was figuring. He was rich. But you know what God says? Thou fool. That's God says that. He says, thy soul will be required of thee tonight. Then who shall these riches be? You see? And they had no hope because their hope was in their riches and in their holdings. But when our hope is in Jesus, that's wonderful. Jesus, next Sunday is going to be Easter Sunday. And we're going to talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave and how this wonderful Savior, oh, he comes and he pays for our sins and he makes it possible for us to be rich, that is, rich in spiritual things, and have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I'm going to tell you something else. Jesus Christ is our only hope. There's no hope anywhere else. Can be found no other place. Listen to what Jesus tells us in John chapter 14 and verse 6. He says, I am the way. And he's talking about heaven. And he just told the disciples how wonderful heaven is. And it's the Father's house. And it has many mansions. And we all have our mansion when we accept Jesus. And we all have our place. And when I die, I'll be there. And now my name will be on that mansion. And won't it be something that Jesus has made? And it'll be so beautiful. And it'll be breathtaking. And I'll rejoice and praise God because I have that wonderful Savior. And so when he's all done with talking about heaven, and then John tells us in another place, he says, there's no weeping in heaven. There's no parting in heaven. There's no sorrow in heaven. There's joy, eternal joy and rejoicing. And then Thomas says unto him, Lord, we don't know the way. We don't know the way to heaven, but I want to go to heaven. And how can I get to heaven? And Jesus tells him how you get to heaven. He says, I am the way. The way to heaven is a person. I preached in the church 73 years. And I preach and I love the church. But all the church can do is point the way, show the way. The church can't save you. Only one person can save you. It's a person, Jesus. And he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm the only way to heaven. And right now, I know what's happening. Somewhere in the world, many places on the face of the earth, somebody is saying, I want Jesus. I want that hope. I want to go to heaven when I die. I don't want to be in hell where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, the way Jesus put it. I want to go to heaven to be with God. And I want to be with Jesus and see him face to face. And that you're going to feel that way. And when you feel that way, this is what you do. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's the door of your heart. And there isn't a thud, but there's just a feeling. They're just maybe there's a voice or not, I don't know. But it might be, you just know, I just need Jesus. I want Jesus. And then you ask Jesus. He says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. I'll come in. I had a little junior boy one time, about 10, 12 years old. His name was Keith. And he said, what if I ask Jesus to come in and he won't come in? And Jesus says, I'll come in and I'll knock at the door and I'll open that door. You open the door and I will come in and I'll sup with him, fellowship with him. I'll be with him as long as he lives. I'll be in his heart, be in his life. I accepted Jesus when I was 10 years old. That's 85 years as he's been with me. I failed the Lord more times than I'm ashamed of it. But I've gone to Jesus and asked for forgiveness, and he's forgiven me every time. And so you're saying, oh, yes, I want that eternal life. And what you do is you just say, dear Jesus, just say in your own words, the thee and the thous, forget that. Dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sin. And I'll serve you the best I can. I'll turn from my sin the best I can. And I'll serve you and follow you. And then thank him. Thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. Then you tell somebody what you did. Now, if you did that, you write to us. And we'll send you literature. And I don't care where you are in the world. We'll send you literature on accepting Jesus and give you some promises. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, USA. All of you on shortwave, get that pencil ready. I'm going to give it another minute. But if you would like to have our little booklet, we have a little Bible study that we send out every month called The New Song. And you just put new song. I like the new song. It's free and postpaid. And I know you'll appreciate it. And then maybe you'll want to help us because we have to pay our way. And Peter and James says, you have not because you ask not. If you don't tell people you have a need, they probably think you got all you need. Well, we have needs. We live from hand to mouth. Just as God provides, so we pay it. And so we need your help day by day and week by week. And if you do that, God will bless you and he'll bless the ministry as it goes forth. Now I want to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for all of this wonderful time together. And we're praying today, Lord, that you'll be with your people wherever they are, and especially the people in Sudan, and help them, Lord, just to know that you're with them and that you know what they're going through, and you're going to honor them gloriously when they meet you in that other land. Oh, bless them. Help those that are lonely, Lord. Help those who are discouraged. Be with the young people making decisions. Help those that just made that prayer, Lord, to just rejoice in you and help them to write. And dear God, we'll be careful to give you all the praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. So now we can't carry on if you don't help us. So here's our address. And all of you on shortwave, you get your pencil there. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you worry about the money, we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They audit all of our books on what we receive and what we pay out. So it's all on the level. And you can get that by going to the internet. You can get the Evangelical Council Financial Accountability. You can get the whole story. So we just want to thank you for this Palm Sunday that we've had together, all of us gathered around the throne of God. And now we're praying that God will just bless and help you this coming week and would bring us together next Lord's Day. Maybe he'll come before next Sunday. Who knows? But he'll come eventually when he's ready. In the meantime, God bless you. God loves you. Christian Worship Hour loves you. And we hope that you love us.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.